book of 2 Timothy. And I'll give you the passage here in just a second. We're going to do things just a little bit different tonight because of 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 1:7. Because of the magnitude of scriptures we have on this, I'm going to use my computer. I've got a lot of work to do to try to parse all of these passages of scripture together and get them in a cohesive way. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now this is the second in our series on dealing with emotions. And one we're going to look at tonight. Last week we talked about anger. Now we're going to talk about fear. This is a huge study, if you will, to look at that. There are over 500 places where the word fear is used in the Bible, where the word fear or fearful or fearfulness or anything like that, these different things are used in the Bible. And then another 189-190 places where it talks about being afraid. And so fear is talked about from Genesis to Revelation. And our text talks about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we talk about fear, we have to go back and we have to look at fear in all its aspects. And just like anger, the capacity to fear was given by God. The capacity to fear was given by God, and just as the same was with anger, fear, that emotion, has been, since the fall of man, has become a selfish and a carnal thing that we have to deal with. So when it says God has not given us the spirit of fear, it's talking about the fearfulness that comes as a result of sin and our sinful nature. Alright? If you look in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, when God calls Adam immediately after the fall, and God is dealing with him, Adam, he asks Adam why he's hiding. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So we see that picture there. We see right at the very beginning, the fear, that capacity to fear, that emotion of fear, has now been turned against God. It's not the fear of the Lord that we talk about. It's a fear of God, a fear to be in God's presence, a fear that wants to push us away from God. There's the picture right there. Now, when we talk in the Bible about the fear of the Lord and fearing God, we're not talking about a fear that that pushes us away from God. We're actually talking about a fear that brings us near to God, a reverence, a respect, an honoring. So you see the difference between godly fear and ungodly fear, carnal fear, that is from the sinful nature, sinful fear, if you will. So we see a picture there right away. And so when we look at that passage of Scripture and we see that the application of it in the Scriptures, we see the things that causes people to be afraid, and afraid of men, afraid of God. You remember when Moses went up on the mount and spoke with God, and he came back and his face shone, right? Because of the glory of the Lord. Exodus 34:30 says, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." So something happened up there, and they said, "Oh, we don't want to be that there." And so the people were afraid of Moses because of the fact that he was I guess had been with God, and his face shone, and the glory of God was on his face and in his countenance. And so they were afraid of that. They were afraid to hear God speak from heaven directly. They told Moses, they said, "Hey, you speak to God and come back and tell us what he wants, and we'll hear you, but we don't want God to speak to us lest we die." There's a fear of God in the sense of being afraid of God that pushes away. That's not the fear of the Lord that's spoken of in the Bible. That's an abject terror. And we understand that. And it's instinctual. Sinful man is afraid of God. Afraid of him, and not in the fear of the sense of the fear of the Lord, but afraid of God, afraid to be near God, afraid to get near God. And most people just want to forget God and would be just as happy to figure that he doesn't exist. Why is atheism so popular, and agnosticism and all those type of things? Because people don't really want to take any time to think things through. And I know there are some atheists that like to sit there and mock and scoff and everything like that. But in reality, they don't really want to sit down and talk about the things of God. They don't want to talk about that. Sometimes the mocking and the scoffing is just a means to cover up the fear. So when we look at this, and we look at this idea of fear, we see right away, we see fear spoken of about from Genesis to Revelation. When we look at the Scripture that we have in the Bible, when we talk about being fearful, if you go all the way back to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, he says in verse 8, he says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So this fear, this the people that are fearful of the things of God, afraid of man, afraid of what other people are going to say. A lot of people are going to die and go to hell because of their fear of something. You remember the man who was born blind and Jesus healed him in John chapter 9. They would not acknowledge the fact that Jesus had healed him. They said, he's of age, you let him answer for himself. We don't know how. We just know he's our son. He was born blind and he sees, but how, we don't know. Why? Because they were afraid. Because if any man confessed him, Jesus, to be Christ, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. They were afraid of their station. They were afraid of being kicked out. So they were fearful. They wouldn't acknowledge the truth of who Jesus was because of their fear. And there are people who know what the Bible says, but they will not confess Christ, and they will die and go to hell for that particular reason. Because they're afraid of what mama and daddy might say, what their friends might say, what their boss might say. There's fear. We call that the fear of man. So when we go in to the scripture and we talk about fear, it's used throughout the scripture. Like I said, you're talking well over probably upwards of 700 verses that are talked of that specifically address either in direct form or giving an example of fear in people. Anything from the fear of the Lord. If we go through the scriptures, and I'm using this to make it where I can see things pretty easy. Makes it kind of easy while I'm trying to pull all this together for the jail ministry. But you see different things. You see the fear of man, and the Bible tells us real clear in Proverbs 29:25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." So we've got that picture of the fear of man, and throughout there it's got the fear of Saul, the fear of Isaac, the fear of a king, the fear of Baasha, the fear of the Jews, the fear of the army. There's several places where it talks in different ways about people being afraid of other men in the Bible. And the fear of man brings a snare. And you've heard me talk about it a lot because it's a reality that we have to deal with. There's always that pressure that man brings to bear to try to get us. The devil uses that to try to get us, first of all, not to get saved. And then second of all, to stop us from living godly. To stop us from taking a stand for the things of God. So there's that fear of man that he talks about there. And then you also have the fear of death. There is a fear of death. God did not intend us to die, so the fear of death is a direct result of sin. But in its purest form, you could say that God warned man of death, did he not? And if Adam and Eve at the temptation had feared God and reverenced God the way they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have had that issue. There would be no issue. But God told them. God told them that the day they ate thereof, they would surely die. So he warned them of death. But since the fall, we have a fear of death. And it is that fear of death often that brings us into bondage. If you look at the passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, he says, in verse 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Who had the power of death? The devil. The devil is the one that we fear when it comes to death. People fear the consequences of sin, which is hell. And said in verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So that fear is a thing of bondage. It is a thing of bondage. That death that we know it's coming. It causes us. Have you ever thought about our advertising slogans? You only live once. Right? What's that tell you? You're going to die. We take out life insurance. It's not life insurance, it's death insurance. It doesn't do you a bit of good when you die. It doesn't deliver you for anything. It just provides something for your family. And that's a noble thing, but it's based upon what? The fact that we know that death is waiting for us. That death lurks at every corner. And a lot of times we have ideas. We have the ideas in our culture that focus on there are certain things you just got to live for yourself and do the things that you want, because sooner or later you're going to die. They have what are called bucket lists. Things I want to do before I what? Die. Bondage. The fear of death causes bondage. Fear of man brings a snare. It causes bondage. Ungodly fear always leads to bondage. The fear of man leads to bondage. The fear of death leads to bondage. So we look at all of those type of things. Now the Bible also tells us that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. We'll look at that in just a second. Let me give you the verse here in just a minute. But the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." All right. So the fear of the Lord is something different. It's that fear put in its proper perspective. When we preach to people the fear of the Lord. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Why? What is the terror of the Lord? That God is holy, and that God is righteous, and that God is loving, and God is all of these things. And if you reject Him, you have nothing left but death. If you reject the salvation of God, you have nothing left but death. But all the way through, and particularly in the book of Proverbs, it tells us a lot about the fear of the Lord. It talks about in Proverbs 1, Psalm 110, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Psalm 19 says, verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." So this fear that we're talking about, this reverence, this awe of God and who He is, it's repeated over and over again. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord causes us to look at God's Word and learn from it. Because we fear God in the sense of saying that, hey, God's way is right, every other way is wrong. Therefore, I need to learn God's way because His way is right. Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. A lot of times, the fear of man, see, this is one of the big differences between the fear of man, the ungodly fear, and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is chosen. It's based upon a decision we make. The fear of man, the fear of death, these things are thrust upon us. They may obviously originate inside because they're our emotions, but the cause of them is thrust upon us. It's not something that we can choose. It's just a reality that's there. The fear of Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When it talks about us growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's talking about growing in understanding of Him. And that we would see Him for who He is, that we would see Him as the judge of all the earth. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be short. And by the way, the fear of the Lord does prolong days. When somebody finally chooses the fear of the Lord and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it prolongs their days for all eternity. But it also has to do with the long life on earth too. Fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:26, is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. In fearing God, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and is safe. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs 15:6 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You're better to be poor and fear God and be godly and have a reverence and awe of God. A reverence and a respect and an awe of God and His Word than you are to be rich. You know, they used to say Bill Gates was the richest man in the world. Then they said now they say the richest man is this Elon Musk fella, I think is what they're saying. And there's been different people that have held the title of the richest man in the world and everything like that over the generations and over the years. You know, the Carnegies and all those, the Rockefellers and all those people like that. We go down there. There was a time when there was a fellow by the name of Howard Hughes, they said, was the richest man. You know, the funny thing is a lot of these rich people, they are some of the most neurotic and afraid people there are. And they get all caught up there. You know, one thing people don't know about Bill Gates is Bill Gates' attitude is he thinks he's got to save the world. He's afraid the world's going to all fall apart. He wants to kill off a large part of the population. He's talking about population. He's big into population control. Why? Because he stands to lose everything. I mean, if the world goes crazy, he loses, doesn't he? He's got a lot to lose. His focus is on this world. He's all population control and climate change and all this stuff. Of course, he's using all these things to make more money while he's doing it. He's making a whole lot of money off the Pfizer vaccines, by the way. And if there's anybody who would say, well, we want to, that he says, I have a vested financial interest in that people get this vaccine, that'd be one of them. Him and Dr. Fauci, by the way. He's got a lot of stock there, too. He's making a lot of money off all this. So, from what I understand, anyway. But it amazes me how fearful the very rich are. You'd think they'd be the least afraid. Many times they're the most afraid. Howard Hughes was so afraid, he became a nut. He was so afraid of getting sick and getting a disease, he wouldn't even cut his nails, lest he nick his finger and get an infection. Tried to live in a perfectly sterile world. Killed him too. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and pour forth honor, humility, humbling ourselves before God. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There's the fear. They're saying, hey, this God is holy. This sin has consequences. We need more of that. We need more of that in the church house. We need more of that in the pulpits. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied, shall not be visited with evil. We talked about that. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:10, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Isaiah 2:10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. There's going to come a time when men will fear the Lord and it will be too late. You know when that time's going to be? During the tribulation time. Isaiah tells us about that. They shall go, Isaiah 2:19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. To go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah 2:21. In Isaiah 11:2-3, talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Isaiah 33:6 tells us that and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength and salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So we see the difference there. We see the fear that is the result of sin. It's the fear of man, the fear of death. That fear that pushes God away. But the fear of the Lord draws near to God and draws near to his word and seeks understanding of God. They're saying, hey, God's the judge of all the earth. I need to know. God's going to call all things into account. I need to understand. I need to change. I don't need to get farther away from God. I need to get close to God. But we go all the way all the way up into the very thing, and the very first thing that happens after after man sins and becomes self-centered, and now he's just looking at himself and says, wait a minute, I'm naked. And there's all kinds of theories about what all that means. But the first thing he did when he heard God was what? He ran and hid because he was what? Afraid. His fear, that emotion of fear that God gave him, had been turned from something that should have brought him to the Lord into something that caused him to run away from God, to hide from God, to try to do that. Man's doing the same thing today, aren't they? I don't want to hear anything about God. I don't want to hear that preaching. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. Why? You afraid it's going to hurt you? Why do people get so angry, adamant about shutting up people from talking about the Bible? Because they don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. Adam didn't want to hear the voice of the Lord after he sinned. You know, they saw they were naked and they made them aprons, right? Fig leaves. They put on the little bit of self-righteousness they had. But man's self-righteousness never fixes the problem, does it? And the minute God gets on the scene, man knows it's not enough. So God sheds blood and makes them what? Coats of skins. He covers them completely, not just partially. Think about that. Man ran because he knew his sin was known to God. He didn't want to hear the voice of God. He was afraid. There is so many passages in the Bible on fear, and I can't get to them all in one night. But what I may be able to do, what I plan on doing, is making a list of Bible verses talking about the fear of the Lord, the fear of man, the fear of death, cost of fear, those things like that, maybe give you those, maybe be able to try to separate the majority of those verses out into those categories to where they can be seen. I think that might be a thing that I can accomplish fairly easy and be able to do that with enough to be able to give you some good Bible study material. But what about you? Do you fear God? Do you want to hear? It amazes me how many people don't come to church that profess to be Christians. And this COVID and vaccine mandates and pandemic and all this stuff, they are caught up in fear, and I hope they're home diligently reading their Bibles. But I would think if they were diligently reading their Bibles, there would be something in their heart would say, hey, we need to come back. But I'm afraid, and it might be, there's a lot of people that they just don't want to hear what God has to say about it. It's easier. Don't know that. I just speculate that. I don't know anybody's heart. Don't know anybody's heart but my own. But I know what it was like for me when And even as I'm tempted now, whenever we're tempted to do, have you ever noticed that when you've fallen into a sin, it just kind of hurts to hear the Word of God sometimes? You kind of don't want to hear it. That's fear. Not godly fear. Not the fear of the Lord. That's the fear that is born and produced by sin. So that is all I have tonight on fear. And hopefully we can explore this further or deeper. But like I said, you're talking over 700 verses that deal with fear and the consequences of it and different types of fear and what people are afraid of and the things that injure man. So, but I want you to think about fear. And once again, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given. Thank you for the Word of God that we've heard. Now, Lord, help us to use it. Help us to understand that there is some things that we ought to fear. We ought to fear the Lord. That's where our fear ought to be there. It ought to cause us to honor and reverence and be in awe of you. Lord, help us to understand the truth and not be fearful as the world is fearful. Not be caught up by that spirit of fear that is the result of sin and Satan. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.